It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 318 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week is a special one because one of my favorite writers is back, and that's Jordan Hart. He always knows how to just engage me completely, and you're going to hear a lot about that in this book called Doppelganger. We talk about how Doppelganger came to be, where he got the concept for the book. And since we're two issues in, we can't really spoil much on the last two issues, but I do already want to highly recommend this comic from Alterna, so be sure to get it. But Jordan and I talk a lot about the series and where it might go in the future. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. There's a lot to get to. So let's get on with the show. It's always great to talk with Jordan Hart, creator of many good books that I've enjoyed in the past, and who has another great book out right now. Issue 2 is out, called Doppelganger. How you doing today, Jordan?
Oh, I'm doing great, Wayne. How about you?
Doing good. I have to say, you made available to me the whole four issues, and I just got to the end and went, oh, wow. I really loved this book. I was so shocked by the stuff you did in this book. Just stunned, and there's so much to talk about. I want to get to it.
But that's great.
I was so enamored with the whole thing. I just hope people pick it up and get it. Now, of course, I got to start out. You had done things with other companies in the past. Why Alterna?
Well, Alterna focuses on creator-owned comics, which is what I like doing. You know, I like creating original content and working with a publisher that gives you the freedom of creating the book you want to create. And furthermore, they have a great history as a horror type publisher. And, you know, this is it's a horror book, but, you know, as you read, it's not very gory. It's not very over the top. It's like a supernatural thriller, really, is what I would call it. Like a psychological thriller with some supernatural flair. But it just sounded right up their alley. So I just sent my pitch script to them and some sample pages, and they dug it. So the rest was kind of history.
Well, I have to say, I just was, you made them available to me, like I said, and I got to the end and I was just floored by the whole thing. Cause you know, doppelganger stuff and television and all that, it's usually pretty bland. You know, there's somebody going around taking their place and it's not a big deal. You know, well, they're like on Dynasty, there was a woman who was like a doppelganger for Crystal.
And sure.
She was in a place, and, you know, finally at one point when they realized the ratings were falling, they kicked her out and got the real one back. But it was rather pedestrian, I thought. This one is not pedestrian, I have to tell you. I was floored by some of the stuff you did in this miniseries, and I really appreciate being able to see it ahead of time, because now I know what to not ask, because I don't want to spoil anything in this. Talk to me about where the concept came from for Doppelganger.
Yeah, so this isn't an idea I had, you know, like when we had spoken about Terminarc last year, my book before this, that was an idea I had for years, for almost over 10 years I had that idea. This one kind of just came to me. And I think that goes back to, as a kid, you know, I was obsessed with comics, like we all were, but I was very intrigued with mythology as well. So Greek mythology, Roman, Norse, all of that stuff. I just was fascinated by it. So, you know, the doppelganger always kind of fascinated me. You know, it's gone back to the Egyptians, and, you know, most people think it's a European or medieval creation, but it really goes all the way back, which is pretty awesome. So I was just thinking about it, and I was like, well, you know, it would be cool to get a modern doppelganger story, and, you know, kind of play off the conventional wisdom that if you see your doppelganger, it's an omen of your impending death. So I just wanted to kind of incorporate that into a comic, I guess.
Just amazing to me. I mean, you know, the main character's name is Dennis. He's got a family.
I don't know what you're going to want to spoil or not, because why don't I let you talk about what's the description of the book?
Sure. So in it, as you mentioned, Dennis is a family guy, and just like, you know, you and us, he's just an average, hardworking, you know, American. He has an IT job. But he's very timid. He's very insecure and apprehensive. So through pure misfortune and bad luck, he gets duplicated by a doppelganger spirit. So I kind of throw in some new conventions into this story because I just thought it was fun. So one of them is, again, going back to the Egyptians, they believed that doppelgangers not only copied your appearance, but they copied all of your memories. And that's something I had never seen before in a story. So I really wanted to do that, because if you copy your appearance, that's one thing. But if he's got all your memories, no one's going to be able to tell except you that it's not you. So I thought that would be a cool angle. So then just again, in the world I created, I just set up a rule that, after you're copied by your doppelganger, you have 48 hours to live, because there can't be two versions of the same person in the universe. It will just auto-correct you out of it. And then just to add a little more interest, I made it, if anyone sees you and your doppelganger together at the same time, they will get zapped out of the universe as well, auto-corrected to kind of cover the anomaly that a doppelganger is.
That was the scary part right there. That was one part that got me nuts. And I, of course, I can't spoil it. Let's just say that does happen. And I was floored when I saw it. I was so surprised. And you can't know who's going to be eliminated and who isn't.
Yep, you're exactly right.
Which is just another thing that got me. I was turning the pages going, now what? Now what? Because it's just amazing. I've got to ask you about Dennis, of course. You know, the fact that he's not superheroic, that he's a little overweight, that he's kind of, you know, he's a family guy, he's a little insecure. He's not the main character of comics usually. Why go that route?
I guess that just comes back to me as a reader and as a reader of books and comics and viewer of TV and movies. I just gravitate more towards the everyday characters because I will pick up who they are through me, right? I like project myself on them. So I wanted to create a character that wasn't this, you know, like Jack Slater from Last Action Hero or whatever, right? It's an everyday guy that hopefully everyone can relate to. And I think I picked up a lot of that subconsciously from Stephen King, who I love all of Stephen King's novels. And, you know, most of his main characters are middle class people from small town USA. And that's kind of how I grew up and my background. So I thought that's just a cool kind of angle to play when you're creating a main character.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not what I'm used to seeing in comics, going to be honest with you, because I'm so used to seeing the superheroic and the guys with the tights and all that good stuff. It was great to read a story that didn't have any of that involved in it. So I really liked that. It's just
awesome.
It's just such a tremendous book. I don't want to spoil anything, so I guess what I'll have to do is ask some questions and see if we can deal with that. Now, his friend who gets involved early in the situation, what's his name again?
Ricardo is his next door neighbor, his 19-year-old neighbor, and they become friends because part of Dennis's introvertedness and his timidity is that he doesn't have many friends. So his neighbor's son, who's 19, is his closest friend, and he's the opposite of Dennis in every way. He's extroverted. He's funny. He's outgoing. He's very quick on his feet, and he is and with this won't spoil anything, but he is really the driving force that basically gets Dennis to grasp his situation and figure out how to take care of it and get his life back.
Okay, no, we won't go any farther than that, because there's a fantastic ending that just blew my mind, so I'm not going to touch on that at all. I wanted to go back to the beginning of issue 2.
Okay.
Because by then, Dennis has discovered that it's fatal for the two of them to be seen with other people.
Yes.
And at the beginning of issue 2, there's this really creepy bed scene where, let's just say that the doppelganger is enjoying the fruits of being someone else.
Yep, yeah, that's the first page splash right there.
More than that, I'm not going to say, because I just creeped out when I saw that. I looked at that, and especially the way the expression on his face is. I just, you know, you want to reach through sometimes and punch somebody.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
What I wanted to do with this guy, because I was so infuriated with him at that point. Of course, that's what you want. You want a reaction from this stuff.
Definitely. Oh, just, yeah, and Emmanuel, the artist of the book, did such a great job with little mannerisms like that, like you said, that just make you want to punch the guy through the page.
Now, I've got to ask you, of course, in the... what I've read, I have not seen an origin so much of these. Are we going to get to that origin at some point?
I think so. Yeah. If there's been talks of a sequel miniseries, and if that happens, there will be. So I did have a whole origin story written. But just with 4 issues, there's a lot of story to get through in 4 issues, and I felt like that could be cut. Mm-hmm. But I definitely would like to get into that at some point, if not else, just to release it online as like a little graphic short story or something would be really cool.
See, one of the things I really was intrigued by was the fact that they pick up the faults as well as the strengths of the individuals. Which is how this whole thing starts, which I found really interesting. I was so fascinated by it. I couldn't believe it. And the wonderful thing about it is, just because he's there at the beginning, let's just say, you know, he's dying, that doesn't mean that's the last we'll see of him.
Yes, which exactly.
Oh, my gosh. When I can't get to the end, but I just was floored. You know, I just, you know, when I saw it in there, and of course, he's so, you know, it's too bad he didn't pick up more of the traits of Dennis in the beginning, because he's so mean.
Yep.
This guy. I guess if you've lived several lives, you get to the place where you're out to protect yourself.
Yep. Yep, and that's the idea, is that this spirit, this doppelganger spirit that copies Dennis, he's about 8,000 years old. So he has really no regard for human life, because it doesn't matter to him. You know, he's immortal. He's been doing this for so long that he's just kind of desensitized to everything.
He's so awful. I mean, he's just terrible. When I looked at him, and I was just... Like I said, I wanted to punch him. There were so many times I wanted to reach through the comic and just punch. I would have loved to do that, especially at the end of 2. The end of 2, where in comes this lady, and she says, well, since the book's out, we can probably talk about it.
Yep.
Says, Dennis, I didn't know you had a twin. Now, we know what's going to happen, very likely.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went there, once again, I wanted to reach through there and punch this guy right in the face, because I was so angry, because this woman does not deserve what's likely to happen to her.
Yes, you're exactly right.
Oh, I was so mad. This book made me so mad at times. I just wanted to scream and murder.
I'm sorry if it infuriated you too much.
Oh, no. Well, it was great. I was just... See, I was into the story. That's why I'm the way I feel about it. I was just so... Now, let's talk a little bit about the covers.
Yes.
The very first cover has 2 of the persons side by side. Issue 2 has the 2 of them, like, face to face.
The faces are in the other opposite direction.
That's right. This is going the other directions. And I won't go beyond that, but let's just say it's that same motif all the way through till the end.
Yep. And I did the cover art. So,
oh, did you?
Yep. So the idea was to take just a simple graphic execution. So cover 1 is just the silhouette of Dennis's face. And then there's just another silhouette behind him, just a slightly different shade. To symbolize the duplication is taking place in issue 1.
Mm-hmm. Well, then it says on the cover, sometimes your worst enemy is yourself.
Yep. Ooh. Yep.
I got chills when I read, especially when I got started reading through the comic and I started realizing what that meant.
Yeah. Great. Well, great. Yeah, so then issue two is that same silhouette of Dennis, but now both faces are facing the opposite direction. And they're still overlapped, but they're looking in other ways, which is to symbolize that the divergence of the two Dennises, where at first it was just a copy and we're trying to figure out what's going on. And issue two, that cover is meant to show now things are going to start really kind of ramping up here, and there's going to be two different stories taking place essentially in one book.
Going in two directions.
Yep.
This is what's going to happen. Now, I've got to ask you, because you do talk about the fact that he gets memories and he does get certain stuff. Why isn't he more like the person that he is a doppelganger for? Is there a reason for that?
I just had it that his personality is his soul, right? Mm-hmm. So even though he gets the knowledge from the person he has copied soul, he still kind of just absorbs it like a snack, I guess you could say, where he gets it all, but it really doesn't change him. It just adds to his knowledge. So, for example, one flaw I always found in movies was, or they address it in like body switch movies, right? Is always where the switched body goes to work for the other person, right? They have no idea what they're doing and they're lost, or they're like have these amazing ideas and they're like the hero of the office now. But I thought it'd be more interesting to make it where, okay, he knows all of Dennis's IT knowledge, so not only can he do his job, but he's doing his job better and with his personality, which is more aggressive, and you see changes happen immediately.
Oh yeah, we see another time when I wanted to punch him in the face is what he's doing to the guy that's his rotten boss. Now granted, he's a terrible guy, this other guy is,
sure,
what he did to him was just as rotten. So again, I wanted to reach to and punch this guy. I was just so mad. He's doing all the things that maybe Dennis would like to do on some levels, but he doesn't have the courage to do them.
Exactly. Yep, so, that's exactly right.
Gosh, and then the what's really maddening is he's able to cover it all up.
Yep.
That was what really got me angry. I was sitting there going like, doggone it. He's not going to be found out by this.
Totally.
There are several times when real Dennis thinks he's going to have this resolved, and it turns out he doesn't. Then I'm really mad. I have to say, I'm really mad. Especially, we've seen when we get to issues 3 and 4, some of that happens. And I just was spitting tacks. I was so mad at him because, it's not like this guy has everything in the world and it's easy to take him over and nobody will miss him. It's that he was a pretty average guy, but with a loving family and an okay job. And why this guy would do this to him is the part that just infuriated me. You talked about the fact that you might do a second doppelganger.
Yes. Yep. And, would be to pick up right where this first miniseries ends without any spoilers. You know what that means.
Yes,
so,
yes, I do. There's no way in this world I'd spoil it because that was another thing that floored me when I found out what's happening and what could happen in the future.
Yep.
I was we got to get rid of this no good somehow.
Yeah.
We got to get rid of him somehow. I just sat there looking at this thing when you get to the very end of the book and you see what's happening. I guess I got to stop saying that, but I was so infuriated at the end of that because now I don't want to spoil it. It's a great ending. I don't want anybody to get to that place and not know what it is that's coming. Or not know what's coming. I want them not to know because it's a wonderful, wonderful book.
Thank you.
It's funny because I watched Deep Space Nine where they had shapeshifters on it and stuff like that. And I always thought they were a little mild with that. This book is not mild like that. And I love that. I just thought that this is what I wish Deep Space Nine had done a little more of. But since I love Deep Space Nine, it could have been a lot more, mad. Get us mad at these people.
Sure.
But I just, Anyway, so what did you say where the concept came from?
Yeah, it just kind of just came to me, you know, just thinking about, well, I wonder what like a modern doppelganger story would be like, mixing both medieval lore with Egyptian lore in current day. And that's kind of, yeah, I don't know how they come, but when they come and they stick, you know, you don't forget them.
Yikes. That's all I can say. That's the kind of book that's very memorable. You know, I see this stuff and I just can't take my eyes off it. And I'm going like, not now. Don't do this kind of stuff. Because if he's really a doppelganger, he should be taking up some of the personality of the person that he's mimicking, as it were. But that's not the case in this book. And that really angered me.
Yeah.
So issue 1 and 2 are out.
Yes.
When is issue number 3 coming?
3 comes in out in March.
March, so not far away.
Yeah, and then issue 4, because we're on a bi-monthly release, issue 4 will be May.
Okay.
And then there will be a trade either later in this year or Q1 next year.
All right. Is it newsprint?
It is, yep, okay. It's newsprint.
So it lowers the price. How much is the cost per issue?
It is only $1.50 per issue, which... So Alterna started doing this after I had signed with them, mm-hmm. and I think it's just the greatest thing in the world. I mean, newsprint is kind of what we all grew up reading, mm-hmm. you know, so there's the nostalgia to it, but then it cuts price so much cheaper to where if you want to take a shot on a book, it's $1.50, and it's just like, okay, if you don't like it, it's $1.50, right. And I think it's great for the industry, and I hope more publishers start doing it.
Because I really love it. I think that, of course, last I heard, Toys R Us had them in it.
Yep.
And other places have had them in place in their stores, which makes it easy to get. And hopefully you'll get kids to start reading some, or even the teenagers and stuff. Because it's probably not a child's story.
No, yeah. More teen and up. But, I mean, you're exactly right. That's how I got most of my comics as a kid, was at the newsstand in the grocery store. And my mom would shop and I'd go to the, you know, the magazine rack and read comic books and you know, get one that I loved. And, you know, going with my grandparents to the pharmacy, they always had a spinner rack right there that mm-hmm. could go pull the X-Men. So yeah, it's great to, you know, I mean, I love comic book stores. Don't get me wrong. It's great to get it out into new audiences as well.
Well, we can't continue to do things as we have forever because it's drying up, and we need to be able to get it out in more locales, in more areas, to more people. You know, I have to tell you, this would make a great movie.
Oh, thank you.
It should be a movie because I'd be glued to the screen when this was going on.
Awesome.
I just think it should be. You know, it could be a mini series, but I would like to see it more as a movie because you get a payoff towards the end. That's worth it. So,
totally.
I'd love to see it. Are you considering shopping it around?
Yeah. Well, so I live in LA, so that's always, you know, kind of the option. And I certainly didn't write it to be a movie. I just wrote it as a comic book. But I've heard a lot of people, readers and other people out here, have said the same thing. So I think, if there's a studio that has interest in it, you know, it would be great.
Oh my gosh, I would be holding on to the chair's arms. With grips like iron, holding on, it can't be kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I love movies like that. And that's what this book did to me. I was somewhere and I completely forgot where I was because I was so busy reading this.
Great.
And when it was all over with, I went, oh my gosh. And then, of course, that ending I will never touch just hit me. And I was so moved that I just said, I can't wait to talk to this guy because this is a terrific book.
Great.
Just fantastic. So 1 and 2 are out. If people haven't gotten it through the, let's say, Toys R Us, where can they get issues 1 and 2?
So you can actually go to the Alterna Comics website and order the back issues right through them, which is awesome. So that is just alternacomics.com, mm-hmm. and then they have a store, and you can get issues 1 and 2 from there. Mm-hmm. Or if you are a digital fan, it's on Comixology as well.
Okay, that's very good stuff. Now, let's talk a little bit about stuff you have done, like Terminarc. How is that? Is that done for now? Are we going to see more of that?
Yeah, so Terminarc is done for now, keyword being for now. Mm-hmm. So there's just some other moving parts going on with other stories, and the artist Terry from Terminarc is a very busy guy. He does a ton of cons every year. Terry Huddleston, you should go check him out. He's usually got this wall, like 20-foot, 30-foot high wall of face posters that he does. You'll see him from a mile away. But yeah, so we got that, and then I will have a new 12-page short story coming out through Alterna in August as well. It's a new science fiction story. It's just a little one-off 12-page short story, but that will be out this August as well.
Can you talk a little bit about what that's about without spoiling it?
Sure, I can give you the premise. Okay. The premise is so the Bermuda Triangle, right, is like this portal that steals vessels for the most part. There's a theory that the Bermuda Triangle is just one of a handful of these type of portals across the planet. That's called the Vile Vortex theory. It's a real thing. So the concept is, the short story is, everything that has gone missing through these portals over the years, from ships to planes to people, all come back to our current day Earth in succession. They get ejected back into our dimension at different times and at different places. So the short story is dealing with that, how that's affecting the world.
Interesting. Now, of course, which begs another question. What other projects are you working on?
So that is the one that I'm currently on right now. And then working on developing a new 4-issue horror story, which also has to do with a old myth. An ancient myth set in current day again, and same tone of everyday world, not the superhero type characters. And we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it's currently developing the script for issue one, and then we'll start shopping that around probably in the next 2 months, I would imagine.
Yeah, I was wondering if you had a publisher already. Doesn't sound like yet.
No, not for that one. It's still trying to work all of that out on my end, figure out what the story is and everything. But yeah, hopefully soon.
Sounds like you tend to like horror quite a lot, or you know, drama, shall we say?
Yeah, I would say, you know, science fiction horror is kind of my thing. I love that. Fantasy is fun too, but yeah, I guess. Like I said earlier, supernatural thrillers, I guess, would be, if I had to define myself to one genre, that's what I like. Mm-hmm. You know, I love suspense, I love thrillers, but I love working in just a little bit of the supernatural into that, but just a little bit, not too much that it's, my goal is to make it seem like it could happen to you tomorrow, right? So not too much of a stretch.
What about other genres? Have you been interested in any of them, or has that one kind of got your attention?
Yeah. Fantasy has always, you know, been fun since I was a kid as well. So I started a web comic with my friend Justin Harder, who is a End Titles illustrator. He drew the little stick figure Deadpool at the end of the Deadpool movie during the titles. So that's him. That's called Middle School Earth, and that's about middle schoolers in a fantasy world.
Cool.
So that, and then also, you know, superhero books are what I grew up with. But yeah, at the moment, I would love to do a superhero book, just when the timing's right. And I'm having a little bit too much fun in this whole sci-fi right now.
Well, you keep coming up with stuff that amazes me, I have to say.
Well, thank you.
I mean, I with Terminarc, I love that. I love this. I was just, like I said, I was blown away by it. And the next stuff you're going to do, I'm going to be looking out for it. And please keep me in, you know, informed as that stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Holy smoke. I just... So, do you go to conventions at all, or do you tend to stick to closer to home?
I do. So I do go to conventions. I go to the big ones in Southern California, so San Diego and WonderCon, I'm always at. And I'll go to Long Beach as well, which is this weekend. They have two a year, so one of them is this weekend. And then I always go to C2E2 as well in Chicago. I love that show. I grew up in Milwaukee, which is about an hour, 20 minutes north of C2E2. So I go with my dad and my brother, and it's just a ton of fun.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So, yeah, I love that. So those are my main ones. I usually go to Seattle, but I'm not doing it this year just because of my schedule. But
this is one year I'm going to get to go to Seattle.
Oh, man. So is this going to be your first time?
Yes.
I love the Emerald City. One of the best artist alleys of any conventions.
Really?
It's just, their artist alley is phenomenal every year. It's so good. And it's a show that is still about comics, which I love too. So it's a really big show, but it's still about comics, which I love.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good thing you're out in Los Angeles. I would love to see this on the tube or in the movie. You'd have people having blood pressure spikes all over the place watching this.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You're doing wonderful stuff, Jordan. I just have one request of you. When you get a chance, you punch this doppelganger right in the face for me.
I will certainly do that.
Because he's such a rotten fiend. Such a no goodness. So, well, Jordan, you keep it up. There's wonderful things you're putting out there. And, man, I just get engaged completely when you start telling these stories. So I can't wait to see what you're going to do next.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for the kind words. And thank you for having me on again. I always love coming on with you. And, it was a blast. So we'll do it again next time.
Sounds good.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
That's it for this week. Be back next episode when I'll have another terrific conversation with another wonderful comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.
It's over, Joker.
Over? Why, my dear delusional Dark Knight, it hasn't even begun.